the Saturday panel on Off the Ball.
There's a growing hostility towards cyclists. We're somehow seen as a nuisance when in fact we're just people trying to get to work.
I've never ever gotten one bad word said to me about my sexuality or from the opposition or from, actually in one bad time, seriously, the girl was marking me so tightly. I was like, I have a girlfriend.
I'm not the person I was 10 years ago. And that doesn't worry me. I know I can play good enough golf.
Don't miss the panel every Saturday afternoon only on Off the Ball.
The Off the Ball Podcast Network.
All right, so AIG Insurance, who are proud sponsors of Dublin GEA, along with their charity partner Aveen's Pink Tie and Dublin senior footballer Owen Merchant, have teamed up to send personalised video messages to children and their families battling cancer throughout Ireland. Aveen's Pink Tie provides financial and practical support to children and their families battling cancer. To help support Aveen's Pink Tie, text Pink Tie to 5300. That will donate €2. So just text Pink Tie to 5300 and that will donate €2. And I'm delighted that Owen Merchant is with me on the line. How are you keeping, Owen?
Hi, Nathan. How's things? I'm all good.
Good. Good to hear. This is a fundraiser and a charity, I think, that the Dublin footballers have got behind before with AIG. And there's so many brilliant charity partnerships and charities have been so hard hit throughout this pandemic. I'm sure it's something you're very happy to give your time to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. More than happy. To be honest, it's a charity that's very close to us through its partnership with AIG. And I suppose from my own point of view, I got to see them in work. I got invited along to their Christmas party about 2 years ago with all the kids. And to be honest, it was a brilliant, brilliant day. They do some unbelievable work for the kids and their families. So I'm more than happy to get involved with it. And I'm very grateful that AIG have come on board as well.
It seems as though there's any amount of charity initiatives ongoing at the moment, and the GEA have been front and centre in that. And at a community and a club level, I can look at your club, Nafina, and it seems like every week there's a new initiative right from the start of this, of getting players to make calls to elderly club members, making sure that they can go and do their shopping, to innovative new bingo games, anything to just, I guess, as much as raise funds, keep the community element and keep the club at the centre of that community.
Yeah, well, I suppose with all clubs, like my own, no different from any others, the club is really at the heart of the community here. And with games stopped, that could have kind of disappeared. But I suppose that we've so many volunteers involved and we've so many people willing to do things and able to do different things that they kind of redirected their energies into new initiatives and trying to help those that probably aren't able to help themselves. And I know it's the same with lots of clubs around the country, and not just Gaelic clubs, but clubs of all different types. And it really is unbelievable to see, and I know you probably see it yourself on Instagram and social media, like every day there's a new initiative. And I suppose a lot of the charities have lost out in terms of not being able to raise money on the street the way they usually would, but I think in some ways they're making up for it as best they can through all these initiatives, and it's really quite something to see.
And hugely important, I guess, for people at every level of the club, whether it's players or volunteers, to keep that connection, because so much of your life is based around going to training and hanging around with your mates or matches, kids sessions at the weekends. And that's, like, for an awful lot of people, that's the main interaction they get with other people in their community. And to be able to maintain some part of that is hugely important just to keep people's heads right.
Yeah, I suppose just from a mindset perspective, being able to engage with people. I know with my own club, Nafina, as you said, we've done a lot of initiatives, but one of the simplest things is Zoom training sessions with a lot of the kids and trying to keep the kids connected. They don't really have that opportunity with school gone and all their teams gone. And to get that connection through whatever form they can, I think is very, very important for them at this time. No more so than anyone else, but particularly for the kids. I think it is quite important, and you see lots of initiatives to get people to stay connected and to keep in touch with each other and look after each other and look out for each other.
How have you found the last few months? Because right now you should be in the heat of battle. You should be preparing for big championship games. You should all be here. You should have no life right now. You should be just thinking Gaelic football. You've had a lot of time in your hands over the last couple of months. How have you found it?
Yeah, it's different. I have had a lot more time than I normally would. And I've been able to use that for things that I probably wouldn't normally be able to do, which in some respects is a positive. But yeah, it's very different. It's quite tough. We're still able to go out and train individually. I'm fortunate enough here, there's lots of green space near me and I have a football or two and I can go kick them, but it's not quite the same. It's that connection thing you mentioned. You're really, really missing that connection and those relationships that you have with people and not being able to see them. But to be honest, like, I've been working from home and just finished that and on study leave now from work. So I'm able to keep busy. I'm able to keep that structure in my life that some people maybe aren't as able to do. And I suppose that structure keeps me going on a straight path and keeps me busy, which I know a lot of people don't have at the moment.
How often as a county team are you linking up with those sort of Zoom sessions for adults? Is it a weekly thing, or are there smaller groups that get together and have a chat online? How do you make sure that you keep that bond going?
Yeah, we're just trying to do it through any means possible. So it's not really structured in terms of like Zoom calls together as a group. We did at the start, we would have gone, you know, foot to the pedal and try to do as much as possible. But we've realized that that's probably not sustainable over the longer term. We don't really know when we're going to be back. So at the moment, it's just trying to link in with guys whatever way possible, whether that's individually or as a group. So text messages, WhatsApps, voice calls, FaceTimes, whatever way you can, just a little text here or there just to check in on people and make sure everyone's okay and keep that connection going, because that is one of the big things we have when we do get back onto the pitch is that bond that we have together and those relationships we have, and that definitely helps us on the pitch. So just trying to keep those going as best we can at the moment.
Do you think will anything change around the intercounty game when it does eventually resume? I know at the start of this, everyone had grand plans that life will never be the same again. And you talk to some intercounty players and the break and the realization that there are other things in life. And wow, when you have your evenings to yourself, it turns out you can do a lot of things. That this sort of rampant march towards a sort of almost professionalism of every waking hour having to be dedicated towards the game, that there may be a little step back from that, that actually players themselves would go, you know what, I actually enjoyed having a bit of a life, that the commitment level that's required maybe will sort of roll back slightly. Or is that just naive to think that once championship comes back, everything will be the same again?
Yeah, I'm not sure it's naive to say that, but like, we play it because we love it. From my own point of view with our team, we are just a group of friends. We're a very close group of friends and a very close group of lads. And like, they are the guys you enjoy seeing. They are the guys, we're just fortunate that we get to play football together, I suppose, in some respects. Like, we're a group of lads who are very, very close to each other. And I don't think, obviously what's happened, the priority is people's safety and people's health, but we do all want to get back playing together and seeing each other and being able to spend that time with each other, because at the end of the day, that's what we like. That's what we enjoy doing. So no, I'm not sure anything will change massively, to be honest, when we do, or if we do get back, in whenever that happens to be and in whatever form that happens to be. I think we're still going to do what we can to try and win as a group. And I'm sure every other county is the same.
Because that will be the next big debate then, as things hopefully start to return to some sort of normality, but games and a championship potentially being played behind closed doors. Like, what you talk about there is the side we don't see, which is a Tuesday night of training and the fun and the crack. And as serious as it might be at times, like, that's what gets you up there. And as you say, this bond that you have on this journey you go on year is the stuff that we don't see from the outside. But playing a championship, like, you think of your goal last year and you think of the roar of the crowd when that went into the back of the net. It's hard to imagine that in Croke Park and there'd be nobody there to see it. I mean, for you personally, if you think of that goal, if that was to be replicated, that sort of moment, October, November this year at an empty Croke Park, would it feel the same, do you think? Would it mean as much?
No, it definitely wouldn't feel the same anyway, that's for sure. And I live in the shadows of Croke Park here, and I was down past it this morning, and it's strange to see it so empty at this time of year. In summer, it's like, it's normally the streets are packed around there and you're getting ready for championship games. And I think one of the major things about championship football is that roar, that excitement that the crowd bring to the occasion. And I'm not sure it would be the same without crowds, but at the end of the day, people's safety has to be number one priority. And yeah, it might not be the same, but maybe it's the only option that we have. But there is no replacing that roar, that extra energy and that lift you do get from the fans, because they are why we do it. They bring so much enjoyment to it for us. And, you know, they give us great, great support, both to us and to every other county. And it wouldn't be quite the same without them, to be honest.
But by the sounds of it, you're mad keen to go back. Crowds or no crowds?
Well, if you had asked me that question a couple of weeks ago, I would have said absolutely not.
Right.
The whole experience of it, the everything with the crowd, like, you can get that that same level of game without crowds at a training session or whatever. And it's not the same. It's not the same experience. It's not the same enjoyment. It's the whole thing just isn't as good. So a couple of weeks ago, I would have said no, but I am dying to get back playing football. But I fully understand that the priority is people's health and safety and well-being. And you can't, no matter what, we can't put football ahead of that. So I think we'll continue to listen to whatever the guidelines are, whatever the advice is that comes from government, and hopefully we'll be able to get back doing something. But yeah, I personally would love to get back out on the pitch, running around, chasing the ball, doing what we like to do.
Yeah, like for you personally, it must have been such a huge disappointment to see the season stopped when it was. Like, I don't know how much the goal changed you or changed how you felt being a part of that squad and getting to play in that All-Ireland final replay, having sort of progressed through the ranks and getting closer and closer. And then on the biggest stage, you deliver and you're going into this season. I'd imagine you were going into this season and going into league games with a very different mindset to maybe where you were a year ago.
No, not quite. Like, one of the beauties of the team and the Dublin setup is that it doesn't really matter what you've done. Everyone is equal. Everyone is the same, no matter whether you've scored a goal or not scored a goal. Everyone still contributes the same amount. The only difference would be I was going into it with a bit more excitement because the last couple of years have been a bit stop-start. I've struggled with injuries throughout the leagues the last couple of years and early parts of championship, and have only really played a handful of games. So I was looking forward to getting maybe a bit more game time, a bit more experience under my belt. And things were going well. My legs were feeling great. I was on top of any little niggles I had, and then it just all stopped. So that would have been the only way I was looking at it a bit differently in terms of trying to get a little bit more game time and maybe a little bit of a longer run through the championship, having not had that yet so far in my 3 years or so.
How well would you have known Desi before this season?
Yeah, I've known Desi very well. I was fortunate to play 3 years with the under-21s with him, and then he was my club manager with Nafina. So I know Desi very well, but so would a lot of the players. Like, a lot of the guys would have come through the ranks with him through that 21s team. So he was very familiar with how guys operate, and we were familiar with how he operates as well in his management team.
Yeah, part of me was thinking, like, being a club mate of yours, that you would have grown up worshipping him, but you're so young, you probably barely remember him playing.
No, I would have remembered the days back when Jason Sherlock and Desi and Mick Galvin and Senan Connell, like, we had an unbelievable team in Nafina back in those days, and they would have been the guys that I grew up watching. Now, I'm probably too young to remember the specifics of it, but I definitely remember the impact that that team would have had on me living in the local area here, and them really being the superstars and the idols for a lot of us back in the day.
And you're that guy now. For those kids, for those 7-8-year-olds, is it hard to get your head around that?
Yeah, you don't really think of it, to be honest. Now, I get a lot more exposure and a lot more interaction with a lot of the people from the club now. Just having to go out and train in parks or the local greens or whatever, you get to see a lot more of the kids who are out doing the exact same thing as us. And they'll stop and say hello and let you know that they've been supporting you along the way. And it's great to be able to do that. But to be honest, when you're in season and in championship, you don't really think about that. It's just, it's trying to better yourself, trying to get better, trying to win with your teammates. And I suppose I'll probably understand that bit of being an idol maybe in the future a bit more. But for now, I'm just kind of trying to enjoy myself and trying to enjoy my football.
One of the things I noticed rooting around on various social media sites and even your WhatsApp is the different sports you played as a kid. So I think you've got a picture of you playing rugby on your WhatsApp. There's pictures of you, lots of pictures of you playing basketball at schools level as well. And obviously, you've turned out to be such a wonderful Gaelic footballer. This is a constant debate about young people and should they focus on one sport, and this constant drag to focus on whether it's Gaelic football or soccer. You seem a real prime example of someone who did a little bit of everything and left. Did you leave it as late as possible before deciding to go just down the football route?
Yeah. So I would have, as a youngster, I would have played absolutely everything. I would have rugby, hurling, Gaelic, tennis, swimming, basketball, whatever I could play, I played. And I'm probably not qualified to speak on this other than from my own experiences. And for me personally, I don't think it's hurt me. And I really hate the way people do feel a need to at some point, at whatever age, that they have to specialize. And I think there's so much to be gained from playing so many different sports. Number one, it's just the relationships you develop with so many different people. But it's those other bits of skill, those hand-eye coordination, speed, whatever it is that you can bring from other sports into football, if that ultimately is your goal, that you want to play that or whatever sport it happens to be. But I personally would have left it as late as possible. I kept playing everything right up until leaving cert, and even through the leaving cert, until I really, really had to, just purely from a time perspective. And I would love to still be able to play rugby, still be able to play basketball, but unfortunately it's just not possible at the moment. But I really do hate to see when younger kids are forced to pick and choose between sports, because I would definitely be an advocate of playing as many and as much sport as possible. I find it's much more beneficial than sitting inside on the PlayStation or whatever people get these days.
The basketball in particular is interesting. Like, the main benefits of that from you that stick with you, what are they?
I suppose there's probably two things. It's the hand-eye coordination, but for me it's the defense, and defensive understanding and awareness. The way defenses work in basketball, it's not really one-on-one. It's a unit, and you shift as a unit, and you try to work together to cover the space, and you allow people the ball in areas where they're not as much of a threat. So there's a lot that you can bring across from basketball into football, and I've tried to do that. And then, of course, there is just the individual specific technical aspects of tackling a ball in basketball. You're not allowed to touch the man, so you really do have to focus on just tackling the ball to dispossess a man and keeping yourself between the man and the basket. So there's all these little specifics. There's probably loads more that I don't even realise. But it's just not putting yourself down one path of, you know, you can play football and you just have the skills of football, but you can bring so much more and add so much more to that to complement it by playing many different sports.
And I guess as well, it got you used to playing against bigger men all the time.
Yeah.
I'm sure this is like something that comes up a lot. And I just find it fascinating when you're watching you out on the pitch, because I guess people think back maybe to the Donegal game where you're up against Ryan McHugh and it's almost like for like. But at times during a match like that, you might end up marking a Michael Murphy, or against Kerry, you're close by to David Clifford, who's, you know, 6'2", 6'3". How much work have you done? Like, do you always, in that situation, do you always just trust your speed and think, all right, well, they have this advantage, I have this advantage? Or how much work have you had to do that when you find yourself in those situations where there is at times quite a large height difference, that you can get at least parity in those sort of situations if there is a high ball, or how you work that out? Is that something you've had to spend a lot of time working on through the years?
Not really, no, to be honest. Like, I've always dealt with, tried to deal with people who are bigger than me, and they've more than just size. Like, they wouldn't be there if it was just for their size. They've plenty of other skills and probably utilize those much more than just their size. So there's plenty of other things to deal with. Like, they can win the ball, but they still have to do something with it. So no, it's never really been a major trouble for me, to be honest.
Yeah, because I think it is the one thing people would look and go, geez, you know, did you find, and have you found at times, maybe when you were younger even, that you would be targeted where they wouldn't realize just how talented a footballer you were, that there's not the same level of attention on you as there would be in the inter-county game. Everyone, I think, fully realizes just how good you are. But that when you were a kid and they go, well, here's this guy, let's send the ball in high on him. Did you feel at times teams would target you?
Not really. I've been fortunate to play on some very good teams, in fairness, where my teammates would look out for me and they're smart enough to know what situations. And it's no different from anyone else. I'll do the same if someone else is a one-on-one for anyone is going to be tough, no matter who it happens to be. So we do look out for each other. We try and not let anyone get into those sort of situations where you can be targeted. And we do our best to look out for each other. That's the same at club level, at every level I've ever played, really, to be honest. So it's never really been something that's been an issue for me, to be honest.
How fast are you? Are you faster than Jack McCaffrey?
I reckon so. You'll have to ask him.
You say there's no way there haven't been races at training. You know exactly. You must know exactly who's faster.
It'd be tight now. I'll let Jack answer that one.
You just don't want this to go and he ends up seeing it. I'm feeling you might be just a little bit faster.
I reckon so.
The talk at the moment seems to be that training GA pitches may open now at the end of June, potentially some form of club championship end of July. And then hopefully, I think, as you say, we see some form of inter-county championship a little bit later in the year. Are you just dying to get back out there then? Is it counting down the days?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm trying to do what I can at the moment to put myself in a position to be ready for whenever we do get that call. But as I said, like, the priority has to be people's health and people's safety. So I'm not willing to rush into it just for the sake of getting a couple of games. We'll obviously continue to follow the guidelines, continue doing whatever we can out in the local parks or greens.
Where would you say that leaves you fitness-wise, what you can do out in the local parks compared to this time, where you would have thought you might have been beginning of June, championship-wise, when you don't have all the resources and all the physical trainers and all that group session, when you just have to go and do it by yourself? Are you 75-80%? Do you think you're quite close?
It's hard to tell, really. Like, you don't really know how fit you are until you get into a game scenario.
Nobody's bashing off you in the middle of the field.
It's very different running in straight lines and chasing a ball by yourself than it is getting hits off people, or even trying to stay upright and stay focused while trying to tackle someone. So it is really hard to tell. I think we'll probably need a week or two or a couple of weeks when we do get back to get into that mode of being right back up to the speed of things. But like, we do have a great S&C team with Dublin, and they've kind of guided us on what we need to do, and we've kind of stuck to that as best we can within the guidelines and within the limits of the facilities we have available nearby to each and every person. So, to be honest, I don't know. I can't really answer that question. I hope we're in a good position. I've no doubt the lads have been doing the work, and we're obviously much more self-accountable than usual. So lads have been left to their own devices to try and keep themselves fit, and they know whether they are or aren't, but I'm fairly sure we'll be in a good place once we do get the shout to go back.
Did you take any time off at all and just sit on the couch for the weekend and watch box sets?
Yeah, I've taken a bit of time out. TV wouldn't normally be something I'd watch, but I've definitely taken time to sit back, throw the legs up and give the legs a bit of a break. But like, to be honest, I probably don't need the break as much as other people. I don't have as many miles in the legs, both from standpoint of only being on the team for 3 years or 4 years, whatever it is, along with the thing of having been injured for so long that I kind of would have missed a lot of those trainings and missed a lot of a good portion of previous seasons. So I'm kind of just raring to go, and I'll keep running away. And it's something to do, to be honest. It fills a bit of time as well to run and kick a football, and it's quite enjoyable. It's a bit different going down to a park, so I continue to do it until I'm told to stop and we're back as a group.
Well, Owen, it's been great to talk to you. You've been with us with thanks to AIG Insurance, who, as we know, are proud sponsors of Dublin GAA, and they've teamed up with Avine's Pink Tie. You're going to send personalised video messages to children and their families battling cancer throughout Ireland. Avine's Pink Tie provides financial and practical support to children and their families battling cancer, and I'd urge everybody to help out by texting Pink Tie to 5300. That is Pink Tie to 5300, and it will donate €2. Owen, best of luck over the next few weeks.
Thanks, Nathan. Same to you.
That was an Off the Ball Podcast Network presentation.